This week on You're Saying It Wrong.
Put your tongue where you're going to about to say sugar and then instead blow out on the sides.
Say Lloyd.
Say Lloyd.
That didn't work for me. I sound like Snagglepuss. It didn't work for me.
We're taking a crack at Welsh. Look, we're all going to do our best here. This week on You're Saying It Wrong from KMUW Studios. Good morning. It's Friday, May 1st. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. A group of Wichita chefs recently spent a day experimenting with a new ingredient.
I'm personally, as a chef, more motivated by a Kansas-grown grain that's good for Kansas farmers and good for Kansas people to consume.
We'll hear what's so great about a perennial grain called kernza. That's after the news. The cost of parking at Wichita's City Hall could increase this summer as the city steps up its enforcement of new parking rules. The move is part of a plan to replenish a fund that pays for repairs and signage at the City Hall garage. But not every city council member is a fan. Council member Joseph Shepard says he does not want to impede access to City Hall.
We don't want to create barriers for people's voices to be heard. You already have the time barrier. There are just so many barriers.
Shepard and other council members are encouraging staff to find a way to cover parking costs and still offer some free parking around the building. The council will revisit the topic in May. Seven people in Kansas are winners of Wednesday night's Powerball drawings. One person is taking home half of the $143 million jackpot, and six others will get between $1 and $2 million. Corey Thone is a public information officer at Kansas Lottery. He says this is the first time the organization has seen this many winners at one time.
There are now, seven people in the state who their future looks completely different now because of what happened last night. So that's just exciting to be a part of.
The Kansas Lottery is excited for the winners, but wants to remind people to play responsibly. The winning numbers were 3, 19, 35, 51, and 67, and the Powerball number was 15. Officials will reveal precisely where tickets were sold after all of the prizes have been claimed. The crowded field of Democratic challengers for Republican incumbent Roger Marshall's U.S. Senate seat continues to grow. Methodist minister Adam Hamilton leads a megachurch in Johnson County known as Church of the Resurrection. Hamilton has announced his run as a Democrat. The pastor considers himself a centrist and says he initially considered running as an independent. Hamilton says the decision to run as a Democrat came after visiting with potential Kansas voters.
We're concerned if you run as an independent, you're just going to split the vote. And we would rather have you run as a Democrat.
Last week, the Kansas Republican Party filed an ethics complaint against Hamilton with the Federal Election Commission, arguing the pastor illegally used church resources to promote his campaign. The only requirements to file an FEC complaint are to submit the complaint in writing, sign it, and have it notarized. The Kansas Republican Party's executive director, Rob Fillion, described Hamilton as a, quote, lawbreaker who was handpicked by George Soros and Chuck Schumer. Legal experts gathered in Topeka this week with the goal of making the state's legal system more accessible. Zach Boblett reports on the initiatives that aim to increase accessibility.
A civil justice crisis. That's how Kansas Supreme Court Justice K.J. Wall described issues with civil cases. Roughly 75% of civil cases in state courts throughout the country include at least one side that represents themselves, which often means representation without a law degree. To help people representing themselves, Kansas legal officials created self-help options, including self-help centers in many district courts and an online help center. Wall says initiatives like these help restore trust in the legal system.
They feel that their voice was heard and that they were not swallowed by the system itself, so to speak.
Wall says procedural fairness is another key in restoring the public's trust. In Topeka, I'm Zach Boblett.
Second Light Shelter Services has announced that Mental Health America of South Central Kansas will be a new provider of homeless shelter services in Wichita. The organization will begin leading operations at the downtown shelter on May 15th. The current provider is Humankind Ministries. Humankind plans to shift its focus to affordable housing. Mental Health America has served the Wichita community for nearly 70 years and has partnered with Second Light since it began. Second Light partners with 20 organizations to provide support and resources for unhoused people in Wichita. Kansas is testing private wells statewide for pesticides and other substances, Celia Yopis Jepson of Harvest Public Media reports.
The Kansas Geological Survey wants to build a detailed picture of what's in the groundwater. It aims to test hundreds of wells a year over decades. Here's hydrologist Aaron Siebold.
We will be able to say, okay, in this area of Kansas, we know that we have a problem with nitrate. And over here, we have more of a problem with arsenic. And so we're kind of trying to identify where might there be clusters or hot spots.
The goal is to include new wells each year, especially wells used for drinking water. If you have a well, you can sign up to have it considered for free testing. Visit the Kansas Geological Survey webpage. Click on Aquifer Water Quality. I'm Celia Yopis Jepson, Harvest Public Media.
The Harvey County Sheriff's Office will administer a DUI check lane in the county this weekend. Officials say enforcement will begin Saturday evening and continue into Sunday morning. The check lane is being conducted alongside law enforcement agencies and the Kansas Highway Patrol. Sheriff's deputies say the purpose of the check lane is to educate drivers about the dangers of intoxicated driving and to remove any driver who's under the influence of drugs or alcohol. The Harvey County deputies most recently conducted a local check lane last fall. Another round of Open Streets ICT is returning to Wichita's North End this weekend. Open Streets NOMAR will take place from noon to 4 Sunday along 21st Street North from Broadway to Woodland Park. The event will feature live music, food vendors, street art displays, group fitness, and family activities. Streets will be closed to motorized traffic, but open for walking, biking, and dancing. The event is meant to help people stay active and socialize with their neighbors. More information is at wichita.gov. We'll be back after this.
Support for KMUW comes from All Things Barbecue, with a wide selection of outdoor patio furniture from lounge seating and dining sets to fire pits, everything needed to complete an outdoor space. ATBBQ.com.
I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. A group of Wichita area chefs spent their Earth Day last week trying out a new ingredient. Now there may be a future on their menus for a perennial grain called kernza. KMUW's Meg Britton Mellish tells us more.
At a culinary school in downtown Wichita, there's a lot of mouthwatering happening over a thin grain that's smaller than a penny. We're at the National Institute for Culinary and Hospitality Education, or NICHE. And the watering mouths belong to some of the city's most prominent chefs and foodies. The grain that's captured their attention is kernza. Kernza is wheat's distant and more sustainable cousin. It's been in the U.S. since the 1930s, but it wasn't until the early aughts that the nonprofit, the Land Institute in Salina, developed a strain of the wheatgrass that's perennial, meaning it keeps growing year after year, even when harvested. James Bowden first saw it at the Prairie Festival in Salina around 2008.
I went on a tour of the greenhouse, and the research director at the time told me that, you know, one of these plants in this room might just save the world. And that just kind of blew my mind.
Bowden is the community engagement director for Sustain-A-Grain, which grows kernza in McPherson and Marion counties and supplies kernza food products. He says kernza's staying power comes from its roots. They spread 10 feet down into the soil, preventing erosion and keeping nitrogen from leaching into the groundwater. Caring for it takes less tractor passes than wheat, which means fewer emissions as well. Early kernza crops were planted as feed for livestock, but growers like Sustain-A-Grain are working to nurture a consumer market, which is where chefs like John Michael come in. Michael and his wife Lexi are the co-directors of NICHE. They started working with Sustain-A-Grain and kernza 5 years ago.
I call it the pre-spice grain because to me it has this lovely, very subtle, but kind of like warm spice to it, like cinnamon or nutmeg or allspice or something.
They incorporated kernza into the NICHE curriculum and bistro menu. But this year, they worked with Sustain-A-Grain to try and cultivate a larger audience. Sustain-A-Grain and NICHE pulled together a group of chefs from 7 local restaurants to experiment with kernza. The end result was a feast. Savory scones from Larcher's Market, Detroit-style pizzas from Public, nori kernza pasta salad from Lottie, croissants from Reverie, Japanese milk bread from Fiorito, and, from the dessert experts at Frost, kernza ice cream served up on a kernza waffle cone.
Shall we eat?
Josh Rathbun is the executive chef at Lottie. He says working Kernza into the foods that his customers love wasn't too difficult.
I'm personally, as a chef, more motivated by a Kansas-grown grain that's good for Kansas farmers and good for Kansas people to consume.
Several chefs said the Earth Day Challenge was a good introduction to a grain they're hoping to make a staple of their menus. I'm Meg Britton Mellish.
Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
This week on Marginalia, we speak with Ian McEwan about his novel, What We Can Know.
Its central issue is what we can know about history, what we can know about the future of history, too, and then what we can know about each other, and finally, what we can know about ourselves, the limits of all these things.
Saturday morning at 11:30 on 89.1 KMUW.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.